I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Brett Hudson covers the Tide for the Tuscaloosa News. They're getting ready for a huge game in Kyle Field against A&M on the road in College Station. And he joins us now on CBS Sports Radio. How's it going, Brett?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
We're fantastic. Hey, so take me back to the Ole Miss game when that defense allowed almost 500 yards and they gave up 30-plus points. And then like they all said, like they won the game, they put up 59, but they all treated it like it was the most miserable performance that they'd had at Alabama defensively in a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nick Saban is a defensive guy. That's his background, and that's obviously going to be where his biggest focus is. And I think the thing that they were most focused about in that performance is tempo, or at least how long the defense was on the field. Ole Miss ran 86 plays in that game. And then if you look at the South Carolina game 2 weeks prior, South Carolina ran 88. So they're very concerned about how long their defense is on the field these days. I don't think that's going to be an issue against Jimbo Fisher's offense this weekend, because he runs a very slow, methodical, old school, quote unquote, pro style offense. So I don't anticipate play count being an issue for the Alabama defense this week, but it has been in the past, and it openly consider making some changes to what's been a very high octane explosive offense to this point, just to help a defense that's been on the field for way too long, in Nick Saban's opinion.
So are they starting four freshmen up front, and are they worried at all that their defense will be the thing that brings them down?
They are starting four in the front. They've got two freshmen, DJ Dale at nose guard, and then the other defensive end position, it could be either one of two freshmen. It could be Justin Aboigbe or Byron Young. Currently it's Byron Young, or at least that's what it was in practice all week. And then the two inside linebackers are also true freshmen, Shane Lee and Christian Harris. So that's an issue for them, and it's something that opposing offenses are pretty clearly going to attack for the duration of the season. What happens now is how those guys develop mentally, how much of the scheme they can take on, because everybody at Alabama is pretty clear about the fact that this is a simplified version of the offense because there are so many freshmen out there. So it's a matter of how well they execute that and how much more they can add to the scheme to present different things to the LSUs, the Auburns, and potentially the Georgias and Clemsons of the world.
Our Brett Hudson covers the Tide for the Tuscaloosa News with us. Are the veterans on that defense, are they bringing the kids along? Do you feel like that they're getting better, and that when these games start ramping up at a higher level, like this is a big road game for them, any way you slice it? I know they're way better than A&M, but that's a dangerous place to go with a bunch of freshmen playing that are, you know, frankly, not stopping anybody. I know they outscore everybody and score 60, but at some point or another, if you can't stop anybody, it becomes an issue. Are those veterans getting through to these kids?
They're trying, but it's tough because there isn't really a ton of veteran presence at the positions where you're freshman heavy. I mean, the two freshmen on the inside, they're backed up by a sophomore, Ale Cajo, who transferred in from Washington, so he's not necessarily experienced in the Alabama way. There's really one proven veteran presence on the defensive line, that's Raekwon Davis, and a lot of the veteran experience on this defense is on the back end, and safety Xavier McKinney and defensive backs Jaheim Carter, Patrick Surtain II, Trayvon Diggs, and they've certainly taken leadership roles within the entirety of the defense, but when they get to the granular position-by-position things, these freshmen, they got no choice, but I mean, they aren't obviously on their own. They've got excellent coaching staffs and veteran leadership around them, but they kind of got to figure it out on their own. And Nick Saban mentioned that he kind of changed up practice a little bit, or at least he did in the bye week. They did a lot of walkthrough, 11-on-11 walkthrough, just so those freshmen could see a bunch of different concepts and see a bunch of different things without wearing them out by forcing them to go full contact or really run to defend something on every single play. So that's kind of Alabama's most recent idea in terms of getting these freshmen along in the scheme. But I think you kind of mentioned it earlier, in the back of the fan base's mind, there is the question if this defense is going to be this team's downfall relative to the national championship aspirations.
Brett Hudson covers the Bama football team for the Tuscaloosa News with us on the bench. This game is obviously an issue at hand, but then I think they get a nice break with that Tennessee-Arkansas back-to-back going into the LSU game on the 9th of November, and that's going to be huge. And they're obviously in Tuscaloosa for that game, and that's just going to be a hell of a football game any way you slice it. But the next couple weeks, seems like they got a nice little window to get ready for that game, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I agree. Tennessee and Arkansas, it is. I mean, those programs are what they are right now. They're pretty significant downslides, and especially with the season being set on the calendar the way it is, where you have two open weeks in the regular season. Alabama kind of approached this most recent open week that they had last week to kind of take little bits and pieces to prepare for Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Tennessee before they have that next open week going into that closing stretch with LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State, and Western Carolina, pretty obviously being the odd man out in that particular schedule configuration. But when you look at the schedule, I think you've hit the nail on the head. If they can get through this task, they have arguably two of the worst five programs in the SEC coming to Tuscaloosa before their bye week going into the LSU game. So if they get up to a solid halftime lead in this game, they'll go 10 quarters without being challenged. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And Tua has been ripping it up, 76%, 23 TDs. I mean, has he done anything at all different? Is he better now? Is he the same guy that you've been covering from last year to this year? Do you think he's actually making strides at getting even better?
Yeah, I think it's something that like the scouts, or maybe scouts would notice it, but the average fan might not notice this, but he's trying to be more risk averse, I guess. Like, he's still going to take shots down the field when his wide receivers have advantageous one-on-ones, and when your wide receivers are as talented as these guys are, almost every one-on-one is going to be advantageous. But the phrase we've heard him use several times is, you can't go broke taking a profit. He's not going to force things downfield, which he definitely would have at times last year. He's not going to stand in the pocket for that extra second and take a sack just hoping to get a chance to unleash a ball 30 yards down the field. He will take short routes. He will take stuff in the quick game, in the intermediate game, and frankly, that's better for the offense overall. It's better for Tua because it gets the ball out of his hand quickly, but it's better for the offense overall because this wide receiver group is so good that they can turn 8-yard slant into 75-yard touchdowns. We've seen that happen several times this season, and I imagine that's going to continue, especially against an A&M defense where the secondary is probably the weakness of the unit.
What do you think of this kid, Smith, the receiver? He's lighting it up. He's got more TDs than Judy, who everybody's got in the top 10 in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think that's kind of part of the wide receiver group at Alabama this year, where people are going to look at mock drafts, and Jerry Jeudy is rightfully so, rated among the top 10 guys in the 2020 draft if he chooses to go out, which we assume he will. But that's kind of the nature of this Alabama wide receiving core and what makes it so hard to defend. If you took one of the four, and the four, by the way, are Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs III, and Jaylen Waddle. If you took one of the four out, like if one of them were to get injured or be suspended or whatever, it would still be a deadly receiving corps because the other three are just as good as the ones that they're missing. It's frankly impossible with Alabama's receiving corps right now. I'm kind of waiting for someone to dedicate themselves to stopping the pass and force Alabama to run on light boxes. And I realize that's kind of a backwards, bizarro world statement, given what the Nick Saban Alabama programs were built on for many, many years in the past. But these wide receivers are just too good. There are so few programs in the country that can go one-on-one with these wide receivers. And I think it's very safe to say that Alabama is not going to see one until they face LSU, if LSU has the ability to go one-on-one with Bama. I think that's very much in question. If LSU can't and Auburn can't, they might have to wait until potentially seeing Clemson again. It's just the nature of the wide receiving core this year.
I love that a couple guys on that defense either way. McKinney's been incredible all over the field making plays, and then I think he's had a couple picks or something. And then that kid, Anfernee Jennings, with all of his sacks, he's been a monster. Those two have stood out to me.
Yeah, Anfernee's a feel-good story. He and he, really both of the outside linebackers, he and Terrell Lewis, have both had their issues with injuries in the past. Terrell more than Anfernee, but you're seeing healthy versions of both of them right now, and both of them are terrorizing pockets. Anfernee specifically, he's been really unleashed this year, because he's been an every down guy at the jack position for Alabama, to the point that Bama's kind of given him some 3-2-6 dime responsibilities, because he's just been so good. He's someone that it's hard to justify taking him off the field, and his numbers suggest that. And if the season ended today, I don't think there's any doubt that Xavier McKinney is an All-American safety. That's the level he's playing at right now. And something he doesn't get enough credit for is he's able to move around. You know, there are holes, not holes, but there are spots in this secondary where they aren't as experienced as Nick Saban would like them to be, where you're seeing Jared Maiden and Jordan Battle and, to a lesser extent, Shaheen Carter, put in positions that are only advantageous to them. So Xavier McKinney kind of moves around the secondary to make sure that those guys are comfortable where they are on the field, and he has to put a lot on his plate in that regard. He deserves a lot of credit for it, not only for being able to handle all the different responsibilities within the secondary, but also being able to execute all of them at what, to, in my opinion, has been All-American level thus far.
Great stuff, Brad. Brett Hudson with the Tuscaloosa News. Enjoy the game at Kyle Field. Should be a good one, 3:30 East tomorrow. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Brett Hudson with the Tuscaloosa News.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.